I think this whole scanning on the cloud is one of those big jumps. And I really think there is power to be world first.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple. All right, everybody, welcome. And we're doing another podcast episode with an amazing guest. I've got a semi-brown person on with me all the way from Wellington, New Zealand, Dr. Ahmed Hallahassini. Ahmed, how are you doing, boss?
I'm very well. Thank you, man. How are you doing?
I can't complain. You're a very light brown person. I'm a little jealous, frankly speaking.
It must be the New Zealand sun. I mean, me and my family got out of Iraq in 93. So we've been in New Zealand ever since. I think the winter's here, cold, cloudy. So I think that might have something to do with it.
You left Iraq in 1993. How old were you then? 30.
I was
you like five?
Yeah, 1 year old, basically. 1 year
old. Okay. So you don't remember anything about that, basically?
Unfortunately, not. I mean, my dad left in 93 after serving in three wars.
Yeah.
And after serving in three wars, I think that was about enough for him. And so, like many immigrant stories, you know, you just search for wherever you can go and wherever will accept you. And that's how we ended up in New Zealand.
Well, New Zealand has one thing in common with the United States, and that's we're one of the two countries in the world where you can advertise pharmaceutical drugs to the public. So that's getting a lot of attention here in the U.S. with our madness of an election, or non, at this point, the Dunn election. But yeah. Well, you've made quite a name for yourself in the world of digital dentistry, and I thought it would be amazing to bring you on and talk, just to talk shop on digital dentistry. Would you agree that it's more confusing than ever?
Yeah, I think especially if you're not keeping up with it, without a doubt. I mean, in the market right now, there's over 25 different scanners. And the market, in some places, it's a majority of clinicians have a scanner, but most countries, it's not the case. And I totally agree. You know, for someone starting off where they haven't digitized at all, or maybe they use some digital x-rays, you know, you look at the market and there's 25 different products, and obviously every company can come up with flashy marketing videos and nice brochures. And it is hard. It is hard to figure out who can you trust, what's the right product for me, et cetera.
And so let's keep diving into this, the concept. So of the 25 scanners, okay, and again, that's what's available to you or worldwide. Maybe it's not available in every country, but bottom line is there's dozens at this point, dozens of scanners out there. Would you say they're all pretty good?
Yeah, I think it's funny. When I first got into this digital kind of content making and reviewing things where a lot of people know IDD, which is what I run, that was back in 2019. And back then, it was really easy to differentiate scanners. That was only 5 years ago. 5 years. I had to think about that. The years are flying. And back then, in 5 years, it was very clear which scanners are good, which are terrible. I can remember back then, you used to pick up some scanners, and while you're scanning, it would stop within 30 seconds of scanning and say, overheated. I'm not joking. Finally, you continue. Fast forward to 5 years, and I would totally agree. If we think about the basic indication of a scanner, which is to create a digital impression, and if we think about what the bread and butter for most clinicians is, which is a single crown, any scanner can work, arguably. But then you get into the nuances of what differentiates them.
All right. So if I'm your friend, okay, and I come to you and I say, which scanner should I buy? How are you going to coach me through that decision? Because it's a common question. You know, I've been involved in digital dentistry for 22 years now at this point. And that when I started there was you had powder, you had one, there was one option. There was, you know, it was a different time, but today we're blessed with so many different choices, but that blessing is also a curse in the sense that it's complicated. And, you know, not just the Europeans or the Germans are the only makers out there. Now we have Chinese, now we have US companies, now we have Korean companies. You know, I'm sure there's Israeli companies. We're just missing a lot of different, you know, countries out there. But how would you coach me through which scanner I should buy, and what are the results that you're seeing?
Yeah, and it's a really good question, T-Bone. I mean, it's something that we get asked all the time. I get it in my DMs, I get it in my email. I would firstly suggest, you know, what do you want to scan it for and how much money do you have? That really is the kind of the first question. Now, because intraoral scan is global now, and I'm sure you speak all around the world, you know that some markets, they have much higher buying power than other markets.
Like the United States of America.
The United States of America, probably the strongest buying power. So the needs for someone in the U.S. are kind of different to someone who maybe, I can say Middle East, because I'm an Arab, so we're not offending anyone. But, you know, when you may be taking home $1,000 to $2,000 a month, your buying power is a lot different. So I guess the first things first is figuring out what do you want to scan it for and how much do you want to spend? Because
all right. Let's real quick, if you don't mind me interrupt, I apologize. I'm going to interrupt a little bit here and there. Just tell me when I'm too much, okay? Let's start with this. Let's start with the how much category. Can you break it down into ranges? Like, is there a $5,000 scanner that's legitimate out there? Is it a $30,000? I think the $30,000 scanner days are probably gone. But kind of what are the price point ranges that you're talking about?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So let's just say the cheapest intraoral scanner that I've seen, and it differs between different markets because companies, you know, just like how you can buy an implant in Brazil for way cheaper than in the US. But let's say the cheapest scanner that I've seen is 5,000 US.
Okay. That is, and you can say that scanner is good enough to make crowns and single units and impressions.
It's totally okay. Like, it will do the job. I mean, it's kind of like what we talked a little bit off the podcast here together, where, you know, the software is the differentiating part now. The software, the workflows, the integrations. I mean, as just a digital impression tool, yes, it will do the job. But would I recommend it? If you're a doctor in the States, you know, there's something to be said about having a really nice scanner that will do arguably a better job. Yes, that one crosses the line to being acceptable. But an expensive scanner may do a much better job, but it has all the workflows. The patient management's better. There's cloud features, cloud storage of data, and that's when they start differentiating. And to answer your question, so cheapest, let's say, is $5,000. And most expensive, you're getting in the territory of $28,000 US. That's kind of expensive.
So it's safe to say there's super low end is in the $5,000, $7,000, $8,000 ballpark. There's probably middle of the road. It's probably $12,000 to $15,000, $10,000 to $12,000, $13,000 ballpark. Then you probably have your average, which is, my guess is $16,000 to $20,000. And then you have your premium market, which is probably $25,000 to $30,000 market. Is that pretty much fair?
You hit the nail on the head, man. That's exactly it.
All right. So walk us through. For our discussion, let's forget about the budget. Okay, let's just totally forget. They're probably not even available in the U.S. easily. Let's focus on probably the $10,000, $12,000 and up scanners. So walk me through the process of ask me questions or which scanner should I get?
All right. So in terms of when you come up to me and say which scanner should I get, first and foremost, there is this play now because a lot of scanner companies are getting swallowed by corporates.
Okay.
So you got the big players. You got like 3Shape, you got Cerec, you got Dexis is somewhat of a big player. But I mean, as a corporate, they're a huge player with Implant Direct, with all their CBCTs.
On Invista size, yeah.
Invista, man, yeah, and that's it. And I would say, look, at the lowest entry point, I think if you wanted to spend the absolute minimum to get something that's quite good, you can see what the big players are doing, which is like Medit and 3Shape. And they both released really low cost entry point scanners, the Trios Core, which is basically a rebadged Trios 3. They had to name it something different to make it cheap.
Yeah.
And the Medit i600, which you can grab 10 grand of those 11,000, 12,000 US, which is, I would say, is a safe entry level bet. I mean, and then when you get to how do you decide between those two? Look, there's camps on both sides. You will get people that swear by Medit. I mean, they sold thousands, tens of thousands of scanners. And I'm pretty sure they weren't all returned. So some people love the Medit scanners. Some people I know they absolutely hate them and vice versa for 3Shape. Yep. I would suggest if you're on an entry level kind of budget, you go to your next trade show or you call up your rep and ask for a trial. Get a trial of the Trios Core, get a trial of the Medit i600 and see what you like. Because they both function pretty much the same way. I would say Trios as a whole, all the Trios scanners, probably do edentulous scanning the best on the entire market. So if you're a what we call in New Zealand denturist or prosthetist, a clinical dental technician, a dental technician that sees patients and does dentures all day, there's something to be said about the Trios scanners. But if you're a guy, you know, who really likes the idea of cloud storage and the Medit apps and all of that, and then Medit could work for you. I mean, those two are, there's a reason why 3Shape released Trios Core at the price of the Medit scanner. You know, they were feeling some heat, and those two are entry level. And then you kind of work your way up. And then look, the thing about those scanners is they're wired. So if you want something wireless, you just like the idea of wireless. I mean, I don't personally mind too much, but some people love wireless stuff. Then you work your way up to something like a Trios 5, which is near the premium end. And that is like really slick. It's ergonomic. It's small. It's wireless, etc. And then in between, there's all sorts of funny nuances. Like, and I review all these scanners on IDD. So if you guys want like a proper breakdown, my website, instituteofdigitaldentistry.com, and I write pages and pages. But there's some nuances there. So, you know, you might be an Invisalign clinic. And in the US, if you're an Invisalign clinic, you have to use iTero. So that's your options.
Yep.
And if you're getting iTero in this day and age, I would probably suggest you get the Lumina.
Yep.
It is quite expensive. And, you know, iTero are doing some funny things, pricing it that high. But it is the Invisalign scanner. Working down from that, which is on the premium end, you know, if you have a really good relationship with your Noble Biocare rep or Implant Direct rep, or you bought a CDCT from Invista and they're like, hey, we'll give you this DEXA scanner for like a really good price, that's also not a bad thing. So if they all work, there is some nuance in how you want to kit out your practice. But I will say, look, if you were to ask me, you know, what scanners do you use most often in your practice, it has to be Cerec Prime Scan, because I do a lot of Cerec just like you, man. And once you get into that workflow, yes, it costs a lot of money. But once you get into that same-day dentistry workflow, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. You know how good it is. You know, if you want to do same-day dentistry, to me, it's an easy sell. Go buy a Cerec. You won't regret it.
Yeah.
If you want the next best thing and like a really, really good all-rounder and you got some money to spend, I think overall it's unarguable that the Trios 5 is the kind of best scanner at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't disagree with you. I've got a Medit 600, 700, 900 in our practice in daily use. I've got two Prime Scan 1s. Now you have to call them Prime Scan 1s. I have a Prime Scan 2. I have a Shining scanner. I've got this other scanner, Allied Star, that I'm testing out as well. So there's quite a few scanners out there. You know, the other thing I'm starting to see is they're all pretty much very good, but really it's the software that's really different, as you mentioned, differentiating. And I don't think people understand this very well. And I think right now, in my opinion, the companies that's done the best using their scanner as a selling tool is iTero, as much as I dislike their tactics. They've done the best of making it a selling tool. That's why in my opinion, they can charge so much. But then I think maybe close second is going to be Medit on that. And you can disagree with me, but I think Medit hasn't done a good job of promoting their software suite, their apps and stuff. So how much do you know about it? And what can you tell our listeners that Medit is capable of doing?
Yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, and also Medit with the i900, they face some really major issues, let's say. Yeah. Pricing it at the price of the Trios 5 was brave. But look, there's no doubt. I mean, the Medit suite of software is, you know, they changed the game when they first came to the market. And I think that's why they captured so much market share. I mean, the company started and within 6-7 years sold for $2 billion or something. I mean, they did something. And you're totally right. They came on the market with everything's about value. We're going to give you all of this for free. So, and they created some really genius solutions where it's like, you know, back in the day when you wanted to make a model for printing, you had to use Mesh Mixer and it was a pain in the butt. And they released a model builder that is still arguably the best model builder and accessible to anyone. It is the best one. So simple, so quick. And it's the interesting thing about Medit is they open it to everyone. They let everyone use it, which can be a pro and a con. I have no idea, but you know, there's a reason why some companies close off their software for themselves because they want to move units. But anyway, so Meta has been doubling down a lot. I think in the past year, just with the i900, with the merger, the corporate takeover, they've had a hard time. But definitely, look, in terms of their software, they have a model builder. They have a pretty good smile design software in there. They have Meta CAD, Connect CAD, which is like an entire CAD suite. Look, it's not an ExaCAD. It's not a shape design software. But for a lot of people out there, especially with the boom of 3D printing, everyone's talking about sprint ray and crowns. If you want to dip your toes into how do you design a crown and how does that work, it's a really good software just to get started and learn margination and crown design. So I totally agree with you, man. I mean, Meta as a software suite and everything they offer for free, I mean, that's the key, because 3Shape has a really good software, a really good lab software, but it's all based behind subscription and purchase license. So they made it do a lot for free, and I totally agree that was a major selling point for them. It has been interesting watching the company in the past 12 months, though.
Well, again, anytime you start getting money involved, things start getting a little bit funny there. A couple of more things on scanners. I think one of the players that will make some noise in 2025 is going to be Shining 3D. They've had some good scanners in the past. They've had scanners, I should say, in the past. But now they've come out with a scanner that is both a scanner and a photogrammetry unit. Again, and from a pure volume perspective, that photogrammetry is a niche for a really full arch dentist, people like me and you, but it probably doesn't apply to 95% of the market out there. So I'm testing the Shining. I'd love to get you do more scientific testing than I do. I just do some work with it. So tell us what you're seeing on these things.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And you know what's funny? It's really interesting that you mentioned Shining 3D, because that scanner I mentioned at the start of the podcast episode, I went to IDS in 2019 and I was scanning with a scanner that would shut off after 20, 30 seconds, was the ARL Scan 1 by Shining 3D.
Yeah.
So 5 years, I mean, this is kind of a testament to Chinese companies. I mean, they're voracious with their development and just working their butts off and apparently, as of late, innovation with this photogrammetry thing. But, you know, on the topic of the Chinese scanners, I think one interesting thing that they're going to have to shake off is the geopolitics, because, you know, being a Chinese product will put some people off.
Yep. But and that's okay.
And that's okay. Yeah, I mean, they'll have to combat that. I think if you know, every man has a price in a way, sadly. So if you give people a good enough deal, maybe they forget about that. But speaking of the Shining product, I totally agree. I think as a company, they're doing some really incredible stuff. I kind of feel like they're the Medit of the next year or two.
Yeah.
And why do I think that? I don't think they're going to get sold for $2 billion, because that was a once-in-a-lifetime sort of thing. Medit capitalized big on that. I don't think a scanner company will ever sell for that much anymore. But what they do as a company is really cool, T-Bone, where okay, they make a scanner, but we just talked about it. We said it's all about a workflow and software. The company makes a face scanner.
Which is amazing for the price point.
I know, $5,000 for a face scanner that, look, I know the apps exist, the phone apps, and I've done reviews on those, but when you actually get a standalone kit, it's a different beast. They make a 3D printing solution, a full 3D printer with a cure, a wash, and look, it's kind of entry level, but it does the job, and it's a lot better than those eBay printers. Yeah, and so as a company, they make all these components, and they're also copying a page from Medit's playbook where they want to make a CAD software for free. Mm-hmm. So you can see they're offering like an entire suite. Speaking of the Elite, I mean, the Elite was really cool. And it's interesting what you say about, you know, not a lot of dentists do photogrammetry, and I totally agree. But the interesting thing about sales and marketing is that as long as the dentist feels like they're getting an additional thing, that's enough to push them over the line. And because in a world where all the scanners do scanning, the fact that they have created a totally unique workflow, which is mind-blowing to think, man, because Chinese companies, let's face it, we don't think of them as bringing new innovation.
No, they copy.
Copying and making it cheaper. That's how it traditionally was. But the fact that they have innovated a new workflow, a new solution, and they send these photogrammetry scan bodies with every scanner, it's really cool. But I think it's also going to help them stand out in a busy crowd.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and it's what's really curious. I totally agree with you in terms of it's a company to watch. I think they're doing some really cool stuff. I think it's enough, you know, speaking on the fact that if you just add things to a scanner, dentists feel good and they all buy into it. I'll give you an example, Thibaut. A lot of scanners, a few years ago, their main marketing pitch was, we come with X. Smile design, model builder, orthodontic simulators. You can ask any of the big companies out there, 3Shape, Medit, how many of your users actually use the apps?
Not many.
Like Smile Design. Not many, man. It's like, I would say maybe 10 to 20% of all users use these apps. But the fact that you can come to market and say, we offer this, you can have it, makes people feel good. And it's all about standing out in a busy market.
And I think a lot of that had to do with their competitor at the time was Sirona. And Sirona has, and in my opinion, still to date, has the best scanner itself. But their software is a one-trick pony in the sense. And that's where the companies had to come and offer something that was beyond what they could do. Speaking of Sirona, the company doesn't exist anymore, number one. There's a shell of themselves. But they did release something that was, in my opinion, quite innovative. And that's the PrimeScan 2. I noticed that you're also a tester of that. Tell me what your thoughts are on that scanner.
Yeah, and another shameless plug, T-Bone. I actually read a gigantic review on it. It's like, I think, 3,000-4,000 words on everything I've been testing with that scanner. So I welcome your listeners to check that out. But let's talk about it. Look, in a nutshell, I think the PrimeScan 2 is a really exciting product because, you know, in the past, again, 3-4 years, all we've seen is incremental upgrades.
Yeah.
And that's why the scanner market has become so busy. Another cheap scanner, a smaller scanner. Oh, we took this scanner and we rebadged it. You know, nothing has been like, wow, this is innovative. Like the jump from, you know, the single shoot cameras, which you will remember, man. If you're saying you practiced digital dentistry more than 20 years, you've been doing it more than I've been a dentist, brother. So you remember all that. So the single shoot cameras to the continuous cameras was a big jump.
Yep.
Spray to no spray was a big jump. I think this whole scanning on the cloud is one of those big jumps. Yep. And I really think there is power to be world first. You know, if this is where the market goes for the premium end of the market, where other companies are like, okay, we have to scan on the cloud, being world first is powerful. On the scanner itself, though, I do get the sensation that it's a bit ahead of its time, man. I mean, internet, as good as it is now, is not great for everyone. I mean, just across the ditch. In New Zealand, we're very lucky. I have very fast internet in New Zealand, 300 upload and download. And that's not even the most expensive plan. That's like an average plan. And across the ditch in Australia, their internet in major cities isn't that fast, surprisingly. And around a lot of the world, Germany doesn't have particularly fast internet. So I feel like it's a really cool product to, again, stand out. But is it too ahead of its time where a lot of people, you know, you're going to need really stable internet and you don't need 300 megs upload like me, but you're going to, at the very least, minimum, 50. Need 50 megs. Yeah. So it's an interesting play. I think it's cool. It's revolutionary. It's funny. All the trolls that come out when I scan with it, they say, oh, you're just screen capturing and this is not real. It's kind of crazy. Because it's so mind-blowing. People can't believe that they have computed all that data, send it to a cloud, and it's coming back in real time. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, at the price point, at what they're trying to do, it's a step in the right direction. They're putting everything on the cloud. CAD will be on the cloud. And I totally agree with you, man. This whole CEREC being a one-trick pony, like, to me, it's still crazy. You can have a CEREC. You can design a crown. You can't export the crown file to print. You know, they don't let you.
No.
Everything's locked. And I think this is a step in the right direction for the company to shake off all that CEREC stuff, go on DS Core, and reimagine how they're going to offer the scanner and the care capabilities. And saying that, it comes with price, man. These are subscription fees. You'll remember this. Remember the days of mandatory fees with scanners?
Yep.
And the industry fought long and hard to get rid of them. It started with Medit and then Trios took off mandatory fees.
Because they're all coming back to them.
And now we're back to them in a different way. Now it's cloud storage. And so it's an interesting thing. And look, overall, to wrap up that long spiel, I think it's a great scanner. But anyone who's thinking of one, you know, the PrimeScan 1 wired is the same scanner, but wired. So I wouldn't just rush to get one unless you're like a trailblazer. You want the latest tech, best tech. But there is something to be said, and I'm really curious how they developed that in the years.
Well, I'd love to give a couple of pros and cons to the PS2. Number one is it requires not just an amazing internet connection. It requires a really robust Wi-Fi in the practice. You can't have, you've got to have really good Wi-Fi. You've got to have mesh points throughout. I would say that you got to have Wi-Fi 6, 6E at least, so that you can transfer that data. You can't really have dead spots or low spots. So to me, that's the biggest challenge. The battery life wasn't great from my experience, wasn't what they said it was. So those are the negatives to me. The positives are it doesn't require any on-site computing power. In other words, I literally was walking around with my iPad with Chrome, and I could go from room to room. I have some older computers in some rooms. I have some amazing computers in other rooms. And I could literally just go from room to room, and it didn't require me to upgrade any computers in the practice. That to me was the main positive to it. I did have one day where our internet went down and the camera was rendered useless. And so to me, that is a concern, because if my internet's down, my patients can still come in. But to have the camera rendered useless is something that I believe they'll have to work on at some point in time. And DS Core is not the easiest software to use. And it's not, it doesn't really do much at this point in time other than store data. But in time, I'm sure they'll do a good job on that. So basically, all that being said, there's still a lot of confusion out there. So if you want to do same-day crowns, single-visit crowns, there's nobody that competes on the CEREC side. Is that a fair statement?
Totally agree. If you have the money. And look, in New Zealand, the whole system is about 200,000. I think in the States, it must be like 100.
It's about 140, yeah. 130, 140 here.
I would say, look, if you had the money and you don't want to dabble with Exocad, because as much as I love Exocad, and I use Exocad as much as the next guy, you do too, T-Bone, it's just not as streamlined, as easy to use for simple crown and bridge work. I'm talking about quadrant dentistry.
Yep.
Me, like T-Bone, I have all the scanners, all the CAD softwares in my practice. When I'm doing quadrant dentistry, there is a reason why I pick up my CEREC scanner and design it on CEREC rather than pick up my Trios and go on Exocad or 3Shape software. It's easy, it's simple, it's fast. I can make a crown in 5 minutes. I arguably the CEREC algorithm or AI that we call it these days that makes the crowns is arguably the best. You give it a good prep, 5 minutes, you're done.
And nobody's caught up to that. Even on the Exocad side, the 3Shape side, nobody's really caught up to what was called biogeneric in the early days. And now we call it AI. You're right. Yeah. Nobody's caught up to that. So let's move forward a little bit. Okay. On the scanner side, let me button that up a little bit. If your goal is to do single visit dentistry, nothing beats CEREC. Okay. Bottom line. Okay. If your goal is, hey, I'm a full arch dentist, I'm doing lots of full arch cases, I think Shining makes a compelling argument that it's a great scanner. Number one, it's a good scanner. The photogrammetry is true. This software needs a little bit of work to mature a little bit, but it's a great option. And then I think, in my opinion, if you're an everyday scanner and you want to start moving down the road of putting scanners in every operatory for hygiene, for assistance, I think the Medit is an amazing product in that road. I can't speak to 3Shape. I don't have one. I've never used one. So I don't have any experience there.
The only thing I would add to that is if you're in the budget for a Trios 5, highly consider it, because I've used it a lot and it's probably my go-to kind of reliable workhorse. Okay. Does denture scanning well, does a dentureless scanning well. So, but you're talking about the premium end of the market. So there is some confusion, but look, at least we cut down like 25 products to 4 or 5. So there's something.
And I think that's what people need. So let's move on to another semi-confusing area. And if you don't mind, let's talk briefly about 3D printing. Who are the players? Why should somebody be 3D printing? And I have my thoughts, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, man, you opened up a can of worms, because there was 25 intraoral scanners on the market, not including all the white labels. I want you to have a guess how many 3D printers, not generic consumer level, marketed towards dentists. I'm not saying dentist made, because most are made for jewelers and stuff, but yeah, repackaged for dentists. How many do you think in the world there are? I counted them. I'm crazy, but I was writing I'm writing a research paper on 3D printing. So I was curious, and just unique products. Like we said, there's 25 scanners. How many printers do you think? And I counted this about a year ago.
Maybe 50, 60.
268.
Oh my God.
Yes, exactly. So that's even more confusing. And it's funny, printing in some regions of the world is dominated by like what's locally produced, because I know there's like some really good Turkish printers that are in Turkey, super popular, but globally they're not really. But look, let's stick to the American market. Let's stick to kind of the global market. Who are the main players at the moment? I think we both agree we were at their conference and they put on amazing parties. SprintRay arguably has totally taken over chairside printing.
Yep.
I think from a workflow point of view, again, for dentists, it's all about workflow. We don't like to tinker. We like things to be efficient, fast, and we like things to be delegatable to our staff. So I think SprintRay would definitely be one of the top picks for chairside printing. And then you have some other players. You know, Formlabs was one of the first on the dental market. They captured a lot of market share. And then they kind of got owned, sadly, by everyone else that came on. But recently with their Form 4B Plus, that's quite a decent printer. They dealt with a lot of the concerns of old, which was a really slow printer. They now changed it to basically LCD, so it's nice and fast now. And they also now offer a subscription to open up the Formlabs printer, which is interesting.
For materials.
Yeah. I mean, like you can basically, there's a subscription you pay and they allow you to use any resin with your Formlabs Form 4B.
Okay.
So that's kind of curious. You know, they have to clip the ticket somehow. And then you've got some others. You've got Accurita. That's kind of like, I would say, the economical SprintRay. So Accurita came on the market. They offered some really, really innovative equipment, the nitrogen generator for the curing, the Curie Cure Box, which is really popular. And they kind of offer a full solution like SprintRay, but at a lower cost. And they're also an open printer. So the big thing about SprintRay was it was open to a lot of resins. They're closing up now a little bit, which is interesting.
That's mainly their resins.
Yeah, they're closing up a bit. But Accurita is kind of like the open printer. So to me, to make it a long story short, if I was considering chairside printing for a dentist, you're not going to look at 268 printers.
No, you're going to look at 2 or 3.
SprintRay, Formlabs if you're on a budget, Accurita if you feel like it fits your needs, and then there's like the Prime Print if you're a huge DS guy.
I'm not a big fan of the Prime Print.
Yeah, it's an interesting product, definitely. I think one thing that DS really struggled with is they came really late to the party. And look, I'll make it simple for anyone who's listening. If you're thinking about printing, guys, it's not about the printer. It's about what you can print. It's what resins you have access to. And is the workflow easy? Because just like scanners, all printers print well these days. Every single one, if you do it right, some are easier to use than others because of their software, their calibration, da, da, da. And if you spend a bit more, you tend to get printers that are easier to use. But it really just comes down to what resin do you want access to. If you want to print a lot of dentures, you may want access to Lucitone denture resin. And then if you want access to that, you really only have 3 options. Prime Print, carbon printers, which no one will buy unless you're a huge lab, or a Seeger. So, you know, to limit your options, just think about what you want to print. If you just want to print models and surgical guides, don't buy the cheapest printer. Yeah. Anything. Frozen. But if you want to start getting into the class 2 appliances, which for those who don't know are basically appliances that stain the mouth. We're not talking about surgical guides. We're talking about night guards, crowns, full arch prosthetics. Then the printers separate because there's the printers that have really good resins for those indications and those that don't. One last thing to you, Bone. Then there's the lab side, because you may have some lab guys listening. I personally think one of the best lab printers out there, because labs don't need this crazy efficiency.
Yeah, I don't need speed.
They don't need speed as much. They still want speed, but not as much. I mean, dentists, you know, it's all about how fast can I print. I would say one of the best and arguably the lab printer with the most market share is a Seega.
A Seega. Yeah, that 4K one is good.
Everyone loves it, man. All the lads I talk to love it. And it's just because the print quality is top notch. Now, the other companies are getting close. Like the SprintRay Pro 2 is no slouch. Mm-hmm. The 440 Plus is no slouch. But there's just something about the Seega labs love. The interesting thing about the Seega, they don't have a cure box. They don't have a wash, which for a dental clinic is ridiculous. But for a lab, you know, the labs can tinker. They can figure it out. They'll buy a cure box from another company. They might use some Tupperware boxes for the wash. So that's kind of, I hope that helps. I mean, that was a really long answer to a very short question.
What do you think, where do you think the printing market is? Like I look at printers and when I started, I just wanted to print trinkets and models, but that's the least of the things that we print now. Like to me, I think, you know, I'm partial to SprintRay, you know, but the reason I'm partial is they keep producing the most resins and they keep producing the most indications for different things. They really, in a way, pioneered some of this to mass market these full arch prosthetics. So I have a concern based on past history with resin crowns or resin ceramic crowns. Have you been doing any of those? What are your thoughts on some of this big push towards permanent, quote unquote, permanent resin crowns, ceramic.
Yeah.
They're called ceramic.
Yeah, the ceramic crowns thing, the ceramic printed crowns. I mean, look, I totally agree, man. We're on the same wavelength, which is refreshing. And I think a lot of us, when we get into this, we kind of all land in the same space roughly. I totally agree. SprintRay, they were instrumental. They pushed chairside printing more than anyone. They pushed restorative printing more than anyone. And it's a testament to how much resins they develop. And also it's a testament to their incredible marketing. Anyway, on the topic of printed crowns, if you want the short answer, the short and sweet answer, guys, it is a resin, okay?
Yeah.
It's not zirconia. It's not Emax. It's just not, okay? Whether we like it or not. Bago was one of the first companies to make crown materials. And back then, and we're only talking about like 6 years ago, all the printed resin materials had Tempri on the label. And in the ADA, your association in America, you know, there's a saying, if America coughs, everyone else sneezes, everyone follows you guys, man.
Yeah.
So your American association said, if there is more than 50% still in the resin, it can be billed as a permanent
ceramic crown. Yep.
And then that changed everything. The labels changed. Everyone was pushing fillers into the resins, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm happy to always, you know, when I say something, it doesn't stand the test of time.
Right.
Things change so fast in this industry. But at the moment, what is going on, I think, is a little bit of over-marketing. But it's also reeling back. T-Bone, if you notice, there's not so much talk about printing crowns anymore. It's inlays and onlays. So before, it was all about printing crowns. Oh, ceramic crowns.
Those were fillings.
Yeah. And now we're going back because we're kind of realizing, wait, okay, you can print it. Of course you can. We're starting to get cases where they're wearing down, especially in acidic environments. We're starting to get cases where people look at it and they're like, wait, I'm billing a patient for a ceramic crown. And this thing doesn't look that good. It looks like a composite blob. They're very monolithic looking. And it's a very small subset of dentists who are going to sit there and stain and glaze. It's very small. Trust me, all the Instagram and Facebook dentistry we see is...
You mean Facebook and Insta-famous?
Exactly. And so look, it works. And if you do cheap crowns for a low cost, you know, for a... just helping people, it's a better option than your MODBL composite. It's a much better option. But how I look at printed resins at the moment, and I'm happy to be wrong in a year or two, especially with Midas and all of that and all the new resins that may come, is treat them like indirect composites, which is not a bad thing that for a low cost, people can now start manufacturing in-house. Because as you said, a Ceramic is 140K. Most dentists don't want to spend that much.
No.
So a printer at least is the gateway. They can start doing some CAD/CAM in-house. But guys, don't just change all your zirconia and Emax to printed crowns. I after you do a few of them, you're going to realize, wait, this is not quite the same.
No. Well, I mean, for me, it comes from experience. You know, I was, I did bell glass crowns from the lab many years ago, before you were born, probably. Not quite, but, and then I got caught up in the Sarasmart, Lava Ultimate, Enamic, and I had significant failure rate on these restorations, more debonds than anything else. And so I have, I'm cautious, in terms of using printers for permanent crowns. I think to me, why I believe every practice needs a printer is trial smiles, provisional dentures, provisional all-on-X restorations, implant bridge, you know, temporary implant restorations, things like that. To me, is really where a printer shines, because and they, splints. For example, go ahead.
And splints.
Yeah, and splints, and so we, you know, and so today, for example, like we're milling surgical all-on-Xs. I can print two hybrids in 30 minutes, whereas it would take 5 hours to mill those two hybrids out of PMMA. So, you know, it's just, I'm not believing that it's a permanent solution. I think it's a evolutionary step, and it's a step in the right direction. You know, just 4 years ago, I didn't believe in printing at all. And today I'm a big fan of printing. And so in 2 or 3 years and 4 years, I hope both of us are absolutely wrong, that printing is not for permanent crowns. I hope we're completely wrong. I have this thing that milling isn't dead yet. You know?
And I feel like, look, on that topic, I feel like, again, totally agree with you. It's funny with printing, the focus is so much about crowns. And I guess it's because that's what most of us do day in, day out. It's the bread and butter of dentistry. But guys, don't forget, like, I'm not saying don't get a printer. Everyone needs a printer because, as T-Bone said, a printer is a full workhorse and a full solution provider in your practice. You can be doing the splints, the full arches. I think one of the fastest growing parts of 3D printing, from what I've heard from companies, is removables.
Yeah.
Inches. Growing super fast. In saying that, one thing for your listeners to think about, because this is one thing that I think is oversold as well, is the CAD element. Like, guys, if you have never done CAD before and you get a printer and you're like, oh, I'm going to print crowns, you're going to be in for a little bit of a rude awakening, because learning CAD takes time, especially if you go and just buy Exocad. It's going to take time. It's complicated looking software. I'm not going to say it's complicated, but it looks kind of intimidating. Not to say you can't do it, but don't think, oh, I'm just going to install the software and I can do it. The other thing that's kind of oversold these days is the post-processing. Now, thanks to amazing companies like SprintRay, that's just getting faster and faster.
And simpler. Before.
And simpler. But it's still a thing. And if you're doing a MO, you know, inlay, and you're charging it at the same rate as your filling, but it takes you 30 minutes to design, and sure, the print may be fast, but, you know, the wash and the cutting and the sprue and all up, it takes you about an hour to make the thing. You might need to rethink this whole strategy, but I do agree. Look, for quadrant dentistry, inlays, onlays, I think printing at this stage presents a really, really amazing solution, because it's a low entry point. I think everyone will have a printer in their office regardless, so you can start dabbling your toes into making some fixed prosthetics. And also, the way I see it is they're very good at competing with Enamic and Sarasmart. If you're already doing a lot of that, perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's totally, for you.
Yeah, for you. I totally agree with you in the sense that as well, that in the future, only God knows what's going to happen, you know? So I would love to be wrong. I would love for there to be a super resin one day with, I don't know, Emax particles or zirconia. But I think technology also has theoretical limits. You know, a lot of the milling companies, obviously they're biased, but I mean, Dentsply Sirona, talk to them. They have a printer and a mill. And yeah, they're not sold on this hardcore printing crowns thing. But of course, they have
a reason not to. Yeah. All right, Ahmad, how can people learn about you? Tell us about, you're doing some amazing things on your website, Institute of Digital Dentistry. Put a plug in for that. I think of you as like the two thumbs up people. Like you're an independent reviewer of honest, accurate information for people. So tell us what you're doing and how they can learn more about that and how they can benefit from it.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I'm honestly just a clinician like all of us. You know, I am a clinician. I love dentistry. I don't just do education and speaking and podcasts. I am in the clinic. So I come from a family of dentists. My dad is a huge role model for me. He's a dentist. We work together. We run 41 operatories in New Zealand. So we love dentistry. We love the business of dentistry. I work 4 days a week doing everything from a single crown, which I still love, to full mouth rehabs and ortho and all of that, and integrating digital dentistry. I mean, what I'm trying to get at is I'm just passionate about this, man. And one of the things that I found when I graduated, and, you know, I'm the era that kind of grew up with internet.
Internet. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. Look, I'll be honest. We only had dial-up until I went to about university. I'm not joking. But so I am kind of the era that when we interacted with the world, you know, when I think about when I wanted to buy a video game, out of all examples, I used to go on Google, write the video game name, and write review or an iPhone or a phone. And that's really where IDD was born. I was just like dumbfounded when I graduated. My dad is a really good dentist, and he was one of the first to have scanners here. So I was lucky, very fortunate to go into a practice with scanners. So at the time, you know, I had some idea of scanners. And I found the information super cagey. It was hard to get any information.
And it's not trustworthy.
Exactly. I mean, everyone has a bias. I mean, most KOLs these days are, you know, they're on payrolls. So
100%.
So there's only so much you can trust. But in saying that, the whole point of IDD, and you guys can check it out, instituteofdigitaldentistry.com, is I just started writing blogs. From my own experience as a dentist, and I'm still not on any payrolls and any of that. One of the main kind of brand pillars for IDD and what I do is staying objective and providing trustworthy information. And I think that's what a lot of people resonated with. But the whole point is I make this website and I write reviews, I make courses, and that just grew. It's funny. It started as a blog, the power of the internet. I was just writing blogs and now it's grown. I think we have over 60,000 subscribers now and people visiting the website from all around the world and people just benefiting. And look, like I say, I'm just a clinician. I love interacting with colleagues, love meeting amazing people like you. If you want to reach out, you can find us on Instagram, on all the socials at either my own plug is Dr. Al Husni with a dot. And there's also the plug of IDD, which is iDigital Dentistry. You can find us on all the socials and of course our website.
Oh, I love the work you're doing. I think you have an amazing career ahead of you. Keep being objective. Keep providing great information. And, you know, I used to say it's an amazing time to be a dentist when we had a few digital products. As confusing as it is, it's still an absolutely amazing time to be a digital dentist. Digitalization is the future in dentistry. So thank you so much for your time. And I appreciate everybody for tuning in this week.
Yeah. And look, thanks a lot, Timo. I totally agree. I mean, digital dentistry it's never been so exciting to do dentistry. And I want to thank you for your time, man. I followed you for a long time since I graduated. So honestly, it's an honor to be on your podcast, to speak to you and to meet you. I think we met in Miami.
Yep.
And a big up to you for everything you do and everything that you've done for the industry, the community, and just educating. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.